Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. Welcome back to the Startup Dentist Podcast. Super excited for today's episode. Before I jump into the topics, most recently, if you are thinking about starting or acquiring a practice and you're exploring like, okay, I want a team behind me. I want a team that knows how to do this. And you want to understand like, what do actually startup consultants do and what you should do to evaluate those. So check out one of my most recent episodes because I talk about this because I'm passionate about it. Yes, that's what I do. Yes, that's what my team does here at Ideal Practices. But more importantly, I want to make sure like anybody that's out there, like I'm passionate about startups. I'm passionate about new practice owners. And I want to make sure like, as you evaluate that, that you find the right team, that's the right fit, that can give you the elements so that when you open a practice that you launch, you just don't dribble out and you kind of just open your doors. So check out that episode. Today, we are talking about something that doesn't sound very exciting at first, but I promise you, this is one of the most important topics for any dentist who wants a thriving, stress-free, well, I don't know about stress-free, but maybe less stress practice because there's always going to be stress. Today's episode is all about systems, not technology, not fancy equipment. I'm not even going to talk about marketing. I'm going to talk about systems because the truth is this. You don't have a practice problem. You may have a systems problem. And if you've ever felt like this as an associate, you're putting out fires. Your team keeps on asking the same questions. Things fall apart if one person is out of the practice, or the practice only runs smoothly when you're there. This episode is for you. So let's start out first by defining what it means by systems. And a system is simply the way that things should get done every single time. And I have a story about like some systems internally here at Ideal Practices that I found the other day that were in place and was amazing because they were there. But I didn't know it, but now I feel so great. This is not a binder collecting dust. It's not a policy manual that no one reads. A system is simply some things like, how is the phone answered? How does the patient move from a first call into a treatment and treatment acceptance? How do you collect money? Where do you take money? How is sterilization handled? So, or even how new team members are trained. So when I asked the Ideal Practices team, I said, all right, think about the clients that we have supported over the years and continue to support. And I said, who's got great systems? Well, there's a lot of names, but one continuously rises to the top. So I'm going to put her on the spot today. So I've got the queen of systems. I have Dr. Amanda Burke. She is, I'll call her the CEO of Burke Dental Group. Dr. Amanda, thank you for joining here on the Startup Dentist Podcast. Welcome. Great to see you again.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Excited to be here. Share some wisdom, share some failures that turned into good systems.
Yeah. And avoid dumpster fires. You showed me just before you have a gift.
Oh, my little guy.
Yeah. Okay, folks, if you're watching, this is a dumpster fire. They happen,
my
I guess.
Emotional support dumpster fire. My little friend. I'm fine. Everything's fine. It's fine.
Oh, I love it. Well, we always have those days. Dr. Amanda's been so gracious to give us some time. And she said, well, it was one of those days. Well, we all have those
days.
Yes,
it was. Sometimes. We all have them.
And now we're getting to the end of the year. There's always things that are kind of coming to a head. So I'm super excited. So let's talk about what happens. Let's start off here. Give us a little bit of background. So how long you been in practice? Give us a little background about your journey, and where you're at and all that good stuff. So everyone can know, like, who is Dr. Amanda Burke?
Yeah, sure. So I've been in practice total for almost 14 years. I was an associate for 10 years before I opened my own practice. Thankfully, I was able to open a practice in my hometown. So we're getting close to year four. So we have been super blessed here with the growth that we've had, the following that we've had, and just, you know, a lot of patients that feel like family around here. So great team, growing, learning, and just taking care of everybody and taking care of each other.
I love it. Yeah, community is such a big part of what you do. And what you do with your, not only your team, but the patients, but I know community is a big part of that. So 4 years, Wow.
Yep. Almost.
Been that long? You're still hanging with us. Wow.
I'm still here. Yeah. So we started during COVID. So it was definitely.
That's right. That's right.
Uh-huh. So it was a journey to get to the opening. So
that's right.
Yes.
You were a COVID baby.
I was a COVID baby. Yes, I was. I wasn't open yet, thankfully, but I was in it.
That seems like it's amazing how it's been 5+ years and it felt like, wow, that was like, wasn't it like 2 years ago? And then it felt like, was that 10 years ago? It's amazing.
At the same time. Yep.
And none of us knew what to do. I just remember like reaching out to so many clients like, okay, this thing is happening. I don't know what to do, but we're going to go figure this thing out together.
We're going to figure it out together. Just go.
Yeah. I remember like sending out videos to all the clients during the middle of the process and everything. It's like, if you need anything, call us. I may not have the answer, but we're going to try to figure it out because none of us knew what was going on. Like what's going to happen. But yeah, you've made it through and
made it.
Yeah, you're here. So I know systems are a big part of like what you do within your practice. So let's talk about like what happens. Talk about some of the systems in your practice, I guess. Or I guess let's talk about if you don't have systems. So like kind of think about like your journey. So I'm going to talk, kind of go to the negative, which is life. Let's talk about life without systems. When there's chaos, there's dumpster fires, your team members aren't doing things their own way. Maybe you feel like there's a bottleneck. So give us kind of the opposite end of when you don't have systems. What does that feel like?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me internally, it feels like chaos. It feels one of those, like you're trying to be level-headed. You're trying to be on the outside, act like, oh, everything's fine to the patient. You want to have that confidence, but on the inside, dumpster fire. It's like this thing with the duck on the water and your legs are going, but you just calm on the top. That's what it feels like. But if you've got a team or you've got a practice that doesn't have systems in place, I mean, it is honestly chaos. And the thing is, and what I've noticed is that you feel it. Your team feels it, the patients feel it, and it's just this ripple effect outside of it. And so, I mean, it could be a staff member that, you know, is kind of didn't know what to do or doing their own thing, or it could be that someone's out and everything just, you can't function because one person is out of the building. There's just this ripple effect that goes through the practice, and you know, that doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to anybody involved. Yeah. And so what I like to do when you feel that is just, okay, now everyone let's pivot, let's figure out what didn't work with that. And let's try to create something so that we don't feel this way.
Confidence too. So I think a big thing is like when team members don't have that underneath of them, there could be a lack of confidence in what they need to do on a daily basis. Is that something that
could for sure. And
permeate.
They want to take ownership of it. You want to give them the opportunity to take ownership of it and have confidence in what they're doing. But if they're not sure, or if there's not a system to where they know, hey, I'm going to do this, this, and this, then they feel lost and they feel like, oh, I can't do it. And then that starts to permeate through the practice in a negative way, even just emotionally, in the way that they experience their day.
Yeah. And I'm sure those are listening as associates, like you've been in those practices. Maybe you were in those practices as an associate where it was like, there wasn't an SOP, you know, there wasn't standard operating procedures. And when everybody's winging it, it becomes more stress. You become like personality dependent, like, oh, if Sarah's out, like the practice goes to mush. We can't have that. And I think that's what systems help is if one person's out, anybody else can take over. And I think that's a valuable part because then it doesn't become one person dependent in that
environment. For sure.
Yeah.
And then being able, you take and learn from those experiences, whether it's an associateship or even in your own practice, where you see those things and you're like, okay, it doesn't have to be this way. There's got to be a better way. And then making those changes so that you can be productive, so you can feel like you're a well-oiled machine. And is it going to be perfect? No, but the system's not in concrete. So you change it and you pivot from that and you go to try something different in that system so that it does feel successful to your group.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. It's Stephen Trutter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. this isn't just any book. It's a 200 plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. Systems protect you as an owner. Now, one of the big things I always talk about in our like overall process of startup world, our 13-stage process, one thing that kind of hovers over this, I call it the 3P methodology, which is practice, profits, and purpose. So everyone's probably heard this before, but the profits part is, I relate that to this. Like, to become a profitable practice, yes, you need patients, but you have to have systems. So that's why this is so important, because this is your ability to be profitable, is having good systems. So that's why this is so important. Systems to you as an owner, how does that help protect you, protect your brain?
For
your
sure.
Stress level. You're wearing multiple hats. So like as an owner, like especially when you're starting out, it's like you're the HR person, you're the dentist, you're the clinician, you're all these things.
Yes.
And especially think about your progression over the last 4 years as owner. I'm sure there are things that now you delegate that you did five things before 4 years ago. How are they important to you as a practice owner?
For sure. So I think most of us as dentists are type A, very list oriented, very to do, just boom, 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 boom. Like that's how our brain works and that's how we function. You know better. All of us.
No, but, never. Dentists are type A. Never seen that.
No.
You don't. You live in the world of millimeters, so everything has to
for
be
sure.
Perfect.
Right there. But you have that. That's what your personality is. So when you're going into ownership and you're going into creating these systems and thinking about these things, you are wearing multiple hats and you're trying to do it all and you're over it all. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to have this here and I'm going to do these systems and this here and do these systems. And it's important to have your hands in all of it. Is it hard? Yes. Is it time consuming? Absolutely. But it's important for you to understand those systems so that as you have those systems and you implement it, you're training your team to be able to take on that and understand the why behind what the system is so that you then can trust them so that as you delegate it, you have peace of mind in knowing, okay, they can do it. If one person's out, the other person's picking up the slack, because we all know how to do it in this system that we have. And then eventually you get to the point where you're like, oh, I don't have to have my hand in that. I don't have to have my finger on that to make sure that that's done. And that's where you just get to, when you just take a sigh, you're just like, okay, it's fine. If I am out of the office and I have my associate here and my team is here, I can go on a vacation. Now, am I have a little pause in my spirit? Like, okay, y'all good? Where am I good? That's that type A that we can't take that control freak. Yeah. We can't let go. But you have a piece of knowing like, hey, I set it up intentionally and I set it up with systems so that it can run on its own. And I've trained my team to be able to handle it. Live, enjoy. It'll be there when you get back, but you've trained your team in order to do that so that you can enjoy that.
And that's part of the progression in terms of getting back your freedom.
Yes. There's a lot of sacrifice in the beginning of ownership of a practice, for sure. It's time, sleep, stress, but the vision that you have when you start it, you know your why and you know why you're wanting to do that. And so you implement that into your systems. And again, it's that why. It's training your team. Like, I'm not doing this because I'm trying to parent you and give you demerits if you don't hit all these spots. But there's a why behind why we're doing it. And if you understand the why and the intention behind why we're doing that, then they're more likely to want to do it. They're more likely to understand your intention behind it and want to be loyal and good to you and be like, hey, I'm going to do that for them. And I'm going to do that the way that they want it to be done, and vice versa. If there's something that they're doing that I could help them with, tell me, and let's work together. And that's that team part of it. And again, not set in stone, things can change, but learning through it as you're implementing these things and as your team grows and changes too.
Yeah. And I think having the foundation that's there in the beginning is important. And taking the time to do this, I even think about like the growth here at Ideal Practices. It was like,
what you did 4 years ago, you had five jobs. Now, now you have less because you can find those right people that are great. And you're utilizing their genius. Same thing that happened here at Ideal Practices. As we've grown, you have to be intentional about creating those systems to delegate, to be able to have those people that can come in there. And that was, I've seen that progression. And a lot of that, I've been a student of strategic coach for years. And a lot of that is the systems of how to scale a business. And again, you start off small as a startup, but then you scale over time. And but those systems that you work on in the beginning allow you to scale and to give you the ability to have vacations.
Yes.
Have that freedom. So,
yes.
What about the patient experience? And tell us, give us some pearls of like, so let's talk about patient experience. I think systems are important for the patient. Do you agree? Like,
1,000%. It just, it gives off confidence in the practice. But in just talking, they're not going to know that you're prepping that MOD with this certain margin and this certain box and the form and everything is correct. Now, I want it to be, but they're not going to know that. But the confidence in our practice and what we're able to deliver to them doesn't come from us taking a handpiece to the tooth, unless we hurt them. But it doesn't come from that. It comes from them having the confidence in what we're doing as a team and just having a well-oiled machine from the moment they make their first phone call and say, hey, I want to be a patient here. Tell me, you know, how do I get on the schedule? To when they leave with a goodie bag full of stuff and they know what to do with all this stuff that we're giving to them, they're well taken care of here. And then they're telling their friends when they leave, hey, I've got a great dentist and I want you to go see them. And then you grow. It doesn't have to, you can be the best skilled clinician, and I believe that you should be, and I believe that you should do the CE and learn all the things, but being just a good leader for your team and implementing these systems, but making it to where the patient experience with these systems is important, that's what they want. And that's what's going to help your practice thrive.
Yeah. One of the big things we always talk about during the startup journey is we want for our clients and for you, and like everyone's gone through our system, is we want that first patient that comes in on that day to not know they are your first patient.
Yes.
That's how important that systems are from day one. We want them to leave as raving fans. And that's why it's so intentional. I feel like so many startups that try to DIY it, where they get stuck in like the equipment and the construction. And all of a sudden they get to the end and go, oh crap, I need to develop systems. Where do I begin? It's like this last thing that they think about because they're thinking about the physical structure of the practice and not about, I'm going to be a business owner on Monday. What am I doing from a business? And your case acceptance goes up exponentially by having systems. You don't have to be the greatest selling dentist, but having a system and building trust. So that's why systems are important, because it actually makes your practice grow and get better case acceptance, because they understand this whole process and they have so much faith in your team.
Absolutely.
I love it. What are some of your, give us some pearls from Dr. Amanda. Are there some things you're like, this is what my team does well? Like, are there certain things that from a systems perspective that you have found like made your life easier, but helped build the successful practice that you have?
Yeah, for sure. So I think one of the things that we do really, really well is just trying to make our plans and make our patient care definitely patient-centered by not only having the staff up front, you know, call them by name and address them by name and, you know, offer them all of the perks of having, you know, coffee, water, snack, whatever, but to bringing them in the back and just focus that time with them. As far as clinically speaking, just from even like our systems back in the back with the clinical, I've got everything's color coded, which makes my type A heart happy. But that's that where if someone's out, but they see green on my schedule, they know they go get a green tray because everything matches together. That's another system with, you know, clinically, you know, a hygienist could go help me set up for a filling because they know that filling is in a blue color. I'm going to go get the blue tray in the blue box and I'm going to set it up in there because it's a blue appointment. And just having systems like that, let's say someone's out, we're running behind, help us out. And they can go in there and do that. So again, just keep everything rolling. One thing that I do think that we do well is from the standpoint of the telephone call and mm-hmm. training my staff up front, answering the phone. Hey, guys, I want to make an appointment. Awesome. How'd you hear about us? You know, and just making that personal connection with them prior to, well, tell me about your insurance, you know, making that personal mm-hmm. connection. How'd you hear about our practice? And then getting the patient on the schedule, getting the information from them on the front end. That way you're helping out the hygienist who is then going to see that patient to start with, having all the information with paperwork so that then they can go and do what we call chart prep, which is you're going in, you're reading paperwork, you're getting everything together as far as what they need to have, prepping it ahead of time. Then it's my turn. And then I come in and make sure the same thing is done. So we are ready for the patient before the patient is ever in the chair. From a clinical standpoint, we know what they need. We know what they're eligible for. We know what we need to present treatment for before they're ever in the chair. And then you get in the chair and you're explaining to them, hey, this is what you need. And here's why. We've got x-rays. Every patient has intraoral photographs that we show them on the screen. They're immediately popped up on the screen. Without fail, they're going to get it. And having that system from a hygiene standpoint, mm-hmm. everyone gets it. And then the patient yep. gets to see it. So that visual, again, patient acceptance, clinical acceptance, because you're showing them those things. We all have it. But then on the way out, again, calling them by name, addressing them by name. They've got appointments when they leave. Again, do not leave here without an appointment. That's one of our systems. We have it in place and we double check ourselves at the end of the day that everyone does leave with an appointment. Just from start to finish, there's a system in place with that patient throughout the practice and just making sure that we're running it well like that. We have a back office, you know, system as far as collections and how we do that and how we run that show, recall system, how to get patients back in, letters, emails and such to kind of get them in. It's throughout the practice. I mean,
everywhere. Yeah, there's an SOP for everything. So that's important for everyone's listening is, and do you review these like on a regular basis or just, is there a process that you do to like, hey, is there something, hey, when something comes up, do you need to address it? I don't think there's a wrong answer, but how do you address what you do with your systems?
So we actually have a yearly meeting where we all kind of sit down as a team and review and go back over our SOP. You know, what do we have? What has worked? Where are we hitting roadblocks? Where are we hitting speed bumps? What do we need to do to make this better? And we review it as a team. It's really easy to get kind of locked into clinical versus business office, and they mesh. They're all together the whole time, but there's just the clinical team may not understand, okay, well, we have an EOB, this is what we're doing with it. They don't understand that because we're not communicating that, which is fine, but it all works together. And so when we're all in the same room, there's also that camaraderie where you're like, oh, I didn't know that. I understand that now. Or well, can y'all help us with this because we see this? So having that group effort to review back over. But there is always the opportunity to change the system. Open door policy with me. If you see something and you need to say something, tell me, you know, what it is, or if you have an idea for something better. Because like I was saying earlier, it is not in concrete. There is nothing that says that this is the rule and it is the only rule, because I'm always open for something to be better and run smoother. But what I also try to make sure that my team knows is that when we do mess up or there's a system failure and we see, hey, this didn't work. This happened with this patient or this happened with this insurance or whatever it may be, that we're not upset. We're not mad, not coming down on anybody and trying to, you know, discipline, but it's like, okay, but we know that didn't work. So let's see what we can do to make this system better so that we can do better the next time, because I don't want it to happen again to this next patient. So let's learn from this opportunity or this missed opportunity, you know, to take care of them the way that we would want to be taken care of.
Yep.
Let's make a change. And so it's always, and it may not be on paper, you know, it may not be that we go into our SOP and make a change in our Word document, but just knowing like, hey, we're going to do this a little bit differently. Let's pivot a little bit, see how this works and then come back to it. You know, I'm really big on reminders in my phone, like, hey, did we like that? Hey, did we, you know, and at the end of the next month, I'll go back to the previous month's notes. Okay. What did we, are we okay? Everybody good? You know, and kind of review that at our monthly meeting.
I love that.
Just to regroup.
Yeah, it's funny. Like the phone, it's like you have that idea, and you're like, that's going to go into notes, and you know, I have lots of notes.
There's lots of notes. We'll find them one day.
Yeah, some, one of these days I'll do something with some of the ideas that are in there. I love that because it's always like an evolving thing, you know, with systems within a practice. And I think you have to be intentional. Do you spend admin time? Do you have admin time in your week?
Yes, do. So Wednesday morning is my admin time. So that is also, I mean, it's my time to get my systems done. It's my time to follow up on the things that I need to do within the practice, but it's also a really great time for me to spend individually with people on my team, to just say, hey, how's it going? What do we need? What can I do to help you? You know, what do we need to have a conversation about? But I think that's invaluable.
And that's a system. So like associates, if you're thinking about opening a practice, yeah, I'm sure a lot of times like you got to work 5 days a week. You do a startup. One of the things we always say is like, you got to find the admin time, especially once you get established. You have to, there's times we've had clients are like, I'm working 5 days a week and I got to keep working. And it's like, if you drop one day or even a half a day, we'll help you like become even more profitable and produce more. I'm guessing like you taking that time away is actually making you more profitable. I think most people think I just got to be chair side. But if you realize you can add that admin time, which is a system, you actually become more productive.
100%. If you have that time to be able to build back, to spend time back, to put it back in your practice. I mean, you're building your practice in that admin time. You may not be chair side running a handpiece, but you're putting time and effort back into your practice. And again, you're going back through systems that may be not working well, and you want to make a change, or you may be on calls, you know, with different vendors or you know, with your consultant, and just to say, hey, let's talk through this. But you are taking that time away chair side, but it will over and it the abundance of what you will be able to get from having that admin time to be able to devote to that will be seen in profit.
100%
quickly.
Yeah. Did you do that early on, or when did you start to implement that? Just kind of give, like,
I was about 9 months in when I started that admin morning. So I was doing Wednesday morning. So midweek, just getting in here and trying to spend that time to pour back into the practice. I still saw hygiene. So my hygiene system was still flowing. So we were still profitable and still seeing patients. But as far as chair side for me, I blocked that. Take that time to catch up on end of days, making sure all the numbers and everything match, kind of going back through that. And then taking the time to just, you know, just the stuff that you spend so much time in prepping before you open your practice, just going back to it. Because unfortunately, when you're chair side and you have your head down, you've got to work. You know, you're doing those things. Internally, you know that all those things are happening. But in order to get that time and to have it, you know, be successful and be profitable, you've got to spend that time doing it. And unfortunately, at the beginning, I did a lot of that late. I would stay up there 7-8 o'clock thinking that was what I had to do, in order just to get everything done. And just adding in that one morning, I mean, I was getting home. I felt more rested myself, which in turn made me better the next day, by taking some of that load and stress off too. So some of that is internal. Some of that may not be immediately seen, but you feel.
Yeah. And I think like, it's important, like as a startup, it's like all hands on deck. You're going to put in those hours. I don't want to fluff this up and say, hey, no, startups,
you will.
It's a pain in the ass. They're tough. They're hard. Not everybody should do them.
They're hard.
But you have to be very intentional about having these systems in place so that it allows you to build a successful practice and then give yourself that time. Because Dr. David Maloli, he's the relentless dentist. I don't know if you heard him before, but he talked about like you as the racehorse, like you got to take care of the racehorse or the racehorse dies. And I think it's important for to be fresh. You said like to be that next day, you're better because you're in a better place for that. So like it's hard in the beginning, but build that around that. Talk to me a little bit about culture. So like how do systems help with culture within your practice? How do you see it helps?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of our systems that we have in place, I try to be intentional when we do create a system that I'm not putting all on one person. I love a backup guy in every system. So let's just say we have somebody who's in charge of insurance verification. That's their baby. I'm going to go and I'm going to make sure I've got the patient's information. I'm going to call the insurance company, fill out our benefit list, and know that everything's in the computer correctly. Awesome. You have it there and it's in. Well, the hygienist is her backup guy, because if the hygienist is going in and sees this patient and goes back and says it says it's ready, the hygienist is like, it's not ready. Then the hygienist is the backup guy for the other person who's in charge of that up front. And again, it takes me out of the equation, because they're not coming to me and saying, hey, we don't have a new benefit list, or hey, are we eligible for this? You're going back to that person and having accountability with that person in that system. So in our systems, I've seen that.
I love that.
And including everyone in it and having that backup, it creating accountability. But in doing that, it's not a, I'm going to get you in trouble and I want to catch you. It's like, hey, can you help me? Can you help me do this? Can you make sure this is done? It's just having that camaraderie between each other and trusting and having that kind of relationship. Like, I trust that you're going to set me up and be able to do my job the best that I can. And then vice versa, when that hygienist is walking that patient up to the front person and saying, hey, I saw Ms. Jones today. We did X, Y, and Z, and Dr. Burke did the exam, and we're walking up front. She's doing her part, and she's already got all that in the computer. But then the other person who she had to trust to do help her do her job, she's having to go back and check her too, because she's trying to make sure that she did hers correctly. So it's a backup plan, but it's that camaraderie where they're working together with each other. And so every system in my practice, even in collections and end of day, has two people on it, so that there's always accountability for both people in the scenario, just to be able to make sure that we've done it. And I think in doing that, we understand each other better. It's still hard. There's still hard days. There's still, you know, things that happen, but I think you appreciate people and what they're doing, their part of the job, because of the system that you have in place and that you're a part of in holding everyone accountable.
Yeah. Dental practices, I hear, sometimes have drama.
Oh, we don't do drama. I don't do drama.
Exactly. I know. Well, I know you don't, but I'm saying
they do
have that. That's what this is. This is also about reducing that drama.
Yes.
I'm sure you've worked in those practices. People are listening and probably worked in those practices. There's like drama because this is, there's a breakdown between who's doing what, who's backing up. There's finger pointing. By having this consistency, everybody has, they feel like they have an ownership part of each one of these things. And I think that's so important, because one of the hardest things that most startups go in through is finding the right team. But finding the right team is obviously finding the right people, but then having the people that can mesh together and building that culture, and systems help build culture so that there is accountability across the board. That way it's not like, hey, the front desk did it wrong, and then the back office everyone's like, there's a team member that backs it up. Now, you can't have that in the beginning, because you're going to be limited on how many team members.
For sure.
But you have to be intent. But how do you do it in the beginning is very important about building this foundation, so that when you become growth, your systems scale simply as you just add people and they just slot into those systems.
Well, and it's what you and I talked about earlier, where we were talking about how you wear so many hats in the beginning, and you as the practice owner at the beginning of opening your startup or your acquisition or whatever it may be, when you become the owner, you are wearing those hats. But if you set the system up correctly and you and the other staff member are doing it, well, now you've got a system in place. So now you're able to bring in a different staff member, maybe with growth, maybe someone else gets that job opportunity, but you now put someone else in that position, but you've created that system with that employee. Now you're bringing a new employee. It's ready. You don't have to worry about it. And you've delegated that because you've been in it. And so, yeah, you don't have the opportunity right at the beginning to have multiple people and multiple jobs. It's you. You get to do it, but you get to make the system what it needs to be because you're in it. And as an associate, we don't know a lot of these systems. And so a lot of it is school of hard knocks. Not going to lie. You learn a lot as you're going. And a lot of it's like, you look back 2 years later and you're like, well, I was dumb. I should have done that. But you don't know at the time until you're in it. But once you create it and you create that system and you get that plan going, and then you start to bring other people in, you already got it. You've already got it established. But that's about finding the right people too, that can jump in there and fit within that system that you've created. It's what you want it to be. You just have to find the people that work within what your vision is.
Yeah. And we as owners of businesses are the biggest bottlenecks.
Oh, yes.
Like, we're the greatest impedance of growth. So like, I think in the, I've having supported probably 1,000+ practice owners, you understood in early stage, like, okay, for me to grow and scale, I need to be able to develop systems to then have people that can I can delegate these elements to. But the other thing is that those new people probably come up with even better ideas. I know that happened here at Ideal Practices, like the way I used to do things. And then as Mike and Stacy and some of my key team members have come on board, it's like they say, we could tweak that. And it ends up being a better way to doing that because I'm the impedance of growth. So I think as new practice owners, it's important to know all those areas. That's one thing. Like we teach you to know how to put through a claim, how to do all these things. You need to know every single aspect of your practice in the beginning. But what you need to do is be very intentional about how can I find those right people for you to then do the things that are most important for the growth of your practice. And it isn't putting through claims. It isn't doing those things. It's creating those systems, but you have to be intentional about creating systems. I think a lot of times entrepreneurs, we generally go, I'll just take care of it. I could be faster with it. We probably are. You probably have done that before, I'm sure.
Yes.
However, if you spend a little extra time about developing a system and helping develop the people within your team, that's the growth of a business.
For sure. Well, and you learn as an owner, as you're setting up these systems and training your staff, that again, type A, control freak. We just want to do it, but we don't have time to do it. And we don't have the brain width to be able to do it and still be able to practice clinical dentistry to be a profitable practice. I mean, we do this because we love it, but we also do it because we need to provide. And so we got to pay that loan back. So we got to work. And you have to be able to say, okay, I've got to take my business cap off. I cannot read the COB and input this money anymore. I cannot go through and call the insurance company to do it. But you absolutely need to know how to do those things and be a part of it, especially in the beginning. Because if you don't, how do you set up the system? How are you going to know? You can't just be like, hey, can you figure this out? Because that's how are you going to help them if they have a problem? They don't have a backup buddy anymore. They're just like, I'll just wing it. And you just have to have your hands in it or else you're not going to know. Now, as you start to implement that with your team, what I try to remind myself in my control freak way is 90% of what Amanda would do is okay. And that's perfect. It doesn't have to be 100% Amanda because it's not going to be, but 90% is absolutely perfect and it's done.
I love that.
And it's great. But like you said, having other people that come in that can maybe flip it and say, hey, what if we did this? Absolutely. Let's try it, you know, and give it a go. And that's that meshing of that team as you're coming in and it makes them feel like they've been able to own it and bring something to the table, which only helps with their confidence too.
I love that. When we were building out systems years ago, kind of the beginning stages as other team members, and just as we grew and I had to get out of everything, I had a motto, which was get it to 80% and I can get the other 20. And that was just how I used to build systems. It was like, if Mike said, hey, I want to do this thing. I have this idea. He's like, how do you think? I go, you get it to 80%. I can get the gap. I'll fill in the other 20%. I like your 90-10.
Yeah.
Now it's like, now here it's more like 95-5. It's like they said, here's 95%. I put my 5% on top of it. It's like, it's cool. And I love that because more brains are just smarter. You know, it's
for sure.
Like, we as practice owners or as business owners, we don't have all the ideas. I readily admit, like, I don't have the ideas, but when I have 15 other people that have ideas. That's what I love. And that's what I love about culture and systems. It's like it breeds that. So I guess part of our discussion has been about team building as well, as well as systems, but it's so important because they coincide with one another.
For sure. Absolutely. They do. You're just in doing the systems and setting it up. You are being more profitable. You are able to take a lot of load off of you, but you're creating a culture within your practice that again makes it more profitable and, you know, makes you feel more confident in what you're able to provide to your patients and for the culture that you're able to provide for your team. So they just really go hand in hand.
I love it. Looking here, I love this. Systems don't limit growth. They enable it. That's what I love. It enables the growth that's there. Okay. I have some final questions.
Ready.
You ready with this? Okay. I'm going to call this the ownership unfiltered. So you went through Ideal Practices. Now it's been six years.
Yes. It was March of 2020 whenever I, I'm telling you, we didn't know what was going on. My vision was the first week of April of 2020.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
It's been a minute.
So taking COVID aside, What felt different with working with the Ideal Practices team, like during that journey outside of COVID, but just like the startup journey? Tell us what was different about working with the team at Ideal?
So in deciding that this was my journey and this is what I wanted to do, because it took me a while to kind of jump. Whenever I started talking to Ideal and getting just the feel of what Ideal Practices was going to be able to offer, and the confidence in knowing that they had a well-oiled machine and they had done it. I think at that point, I think it was 600, but I know it's well more than that, you know, at this point. But just the step-by-step process and carrying you through it, and just knowing that everything that we were going to have to go through was already kind of blueprinted and we had everything already in place. And it wasn't a guessing game for me as to, okay, what do I do here? What do I do here? Because one of the things that drives me crazy most about dental school is that we're not taught how to be business owners and we're not taught how to be managers. We're taught how to work on a tooth. And I was so uncomfortable with the thought of being a business owner and being a manager and that and not knowing how do I buy a practice? How do I open a practice? How do I get a loan? Where do those equipment come from? How do you plumb this? Like, it was just like, and I didn't know where to even start. And so just knowing that there was already a model set up and all I had to do was go through, you know, the journey with you guys to do that. I mean, to me, for someone who has clinical confidence in a way, you know, I know how to do those things because I've taught and I've done it and I've done it. Those are things that I haven't done. And so why not use the expertise and the camaraderie of people who do that and do it well and can walk me through the journey to get me to the end game?
Yep. And I know nothing clinically. I'm fully aware. I know number 15. Now I tell everybody I've been in industry for 20 years. I don't even know the number of teeth, the numbers. I know 15. There's a crown on it.
Oh,
I call it the upper left tooth. That's what I refer to as number 15. So
you're in the right spot.
So I can't teach clinically. My team doesn't teach clinically. It's about how do we help? How do we take associate to CEO? It's the entrepreneurial stuff. Did you feel fully ready when you were ready to take the leap of into practice ownership?
Like when I opened or like when I was like, okay, I think I'm going to do this.
Sure.
Yes. Yes to all.
Either one.
Whenever I decided that I was going to do it, absolutely not. Not emotionally, not physically, not mentally, not in like even between my husband and I, like he was always like, you can do this because he's a business major. He's an account. He does all that kind of stuff. He works with businesses and does all that. And it all makes sense to him. And I'm over here like, do teeth. Like, I don't know. What do you mean bookkeeping? What am I going to, I got to pay taxes? What is use tax? I don't know any of this. And so he was always like, you can do it. You can do it. And I was like, I'm good. I was always just, let me go work and get a check and I'm going to go home. And that was good. And then one day it was just like, hey, you know what? I can do this, but not ready. Confident that I could. But that was just because that I signed on with Ideal and had the right team. And then that's where that confidence came. Now, whenever the doors were ready to be open, and Stacy can probably write a book about the crazy that was here. Mm-hmm. I felt more ready than I thought that I was going to be that day. But it was because we had gone through every single step and I had my hand in everything. We were getting benefits. We were going through our practice management software. We had plans in place for the sterilization area and all of that. Like, we had literally had our hands in everything. And the beautiful part of it was that the clinical aspect of it, that was the easy part. That was the part you don't have to think about. And so you just, at that point, at the beginning, you just quickly are like, okay, that's a well-oiled machine. I can do that. Let me work with this, and taking your time to do that. Ready? No, but prepared. Yes.
I love that. Ready? No, prepared. Yes. You know, we're going through that whole process of developing systems and everything. And I always tell that the associates that come through our program and say, are you going to be 100% ready? Probably not, because you just aren't. Are you going to be 100% more confident and better prepared? Yes.
Yes.
Because things are going to happen on the first day And it's more about like, oh, if that does happen, okay, we have a system around it, or we know what we need to do. It's about having a foundation underneath
yes.
you of like, to be prepared. So
no one's
100% ready.
No, not ready. But your fallback is there because you've built that foundation, you've gone through all those things, and you have all yeah. of this set up beforehand. And so it may not be that every fire can be put out immediately, but it can be. You just have to get to
yeah.
your fire extinguisher, put it out.
Yep. Right. Before it turns into a
dumpster
fire. Right. Yeah. Dumpster fire. And hopefully everyone's listening. We talked about dumpster fires today. So it's, yeah.
Hopefully people take away more than
dumpster fires. That's right. Everything's fine. If an associate is listening, debating about whether they need help or not on the journey of becoming a practice owner, what would you tell them?
Oh, again, I do not feel like dental school, of course, I only have one experience, but from what I can tell just from the relationships that I have created through Ideal and through just this career, we don't feel adequately prepared from a business aspect and an entrepreneurial aspect to be able to do this. Now, through life experiences, absolutely. Spouses, friends, family that can help us 100%. But as us personally, I just don't feel like we're as prepared as we could be from an education standpoint. And so because of that, I mean, going in with Ideal Practices for me and the journey that I went through, I would tell everyone I would pay 10 times the amount that you guys were an investment for me for, because it helped me not only save money. I know I did. There's no doubt about it. Not only with equipment and the way that the layout is, but from working with real estate and getting our contracts for our lease agreements and everything taken care of and looked yeah. over. Just having that assistance as we're starting this journey and creating this practice, it allowed me to be able to set up that foundation and have that for my practice and have that confidence in knowing that what I was going to do was going to be successful because I had that team behind me. So, I mean, I'm telling you, it's a no-brainer for me. Anybody that I talk to who I have this conversation with, I just tell them, is there an investment of your time and your finances in doing something like this? Yes, but you will save in having someone who's done it before and having someone who's an expert in that field do it with you in order to get you to what your dream is. You can still get there. It may be harder and it may be way more expensive, but why not do something that is already that well-oiled machine that you can just jump in and show them your vision and show them your dream and let them work with you on it?
Yeah, yeah. Come into the system.
We have a system. We have a system.
And I think, you know, again, DIY is a great approach. I'm just passionate about startups. There's nothing more satisfying than when clients like yourself don't have to work as an associate anymore. That is the freedom day. I love freedom day. And that's the goal. And that's what my passion is, and our team's passion is doing that. So thank you for taking time out, Dr. Amanda. I really appreciate it. It is great to see you again.
Enjoy
I saw
it.
You a couple months ago.
Yes,
you did. Thank you for sharing so much wisdom. Happy holidays. And I really appreciate taking time out and sharing your journey as a practice owner, but also the importance of systems. So
absolutely happy to do it. Thank you.
Awesome stuff. I'm going to leave you with this, everybody. You don't build systems because you're controlling. You build systems because you care, your team, your patients, and your future. Systems don't limit growth. They enable it. So when you have those days where you're like, or you're getting to build a practice, important part is to be profitable. You need to have systems. Everything from the beginning needs to have a standard operating procedure around it and having systems so that when you open, you're profitable. And to quote what Dr. Amanda said is, you're not going to be ready, but you're going to be prepared. And that's the most important part. So thanks for listening. If this episode resonated with you, share it with a colleague who's getting ready to take that journey. And I cannot wait. That is a wrap on all things from systems. Don't forget to check out any show notes for any and all links and resources that we talked about today. And I can't wait for the next topic coming up here soon. So thanks for stopping by. Thanks, everybody.
As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.